include the interest on this group. We hear so many examples about voters and first collision, and we encourage to pass up to the goal. And I enjoy that people for the kids say, well, we have become harder. Indeed, we hold back the beginning of the assurance from it to the end. And also, the Hebrew, the today's those days morning watch say, this Joshua 19 say, have I not command you be strong and take courage, do not be afraid or dismayed. For Jehovah your God is with you wherever you go. We know our Christ is already victorious on the cross. So he is already triumphant on the cross. Just like Hebrews 12:2, looking away unto Jesus, for the author of perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has it set down on the right hand of the throne of the God. He's already victorious and set on the right hand of the throne, waiting for us. Amen. So we have to go on. Amen. We are his partner, and Christ do everything for us. And we know this all the giant, all the environment, all the difficulty just help us, just training us to go to be strong. And they are our food, according to Numbers, they are our food. So top spies, they are afraid, but the Caleb have another spear. He, the partner of the Joshua, he overcome. Amen. So Caleb is our example. Today, we have a partner of Christ. Why we should afraid? Every difficult come, we just fight with our Christ by calling on him and by pursuing him.
Amen.
Because why we afraid? Because we don't have God's word, and we short of the Christ, the life. That's why we afraid. Just like this conference in the last weekend, we have a healthy church life with healthy teaching. So we know a lot from the Bible, and we have a revelation from the God that we be strong. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we be the fool of the enemy. Mm-hmm. So we have to come to the church life, normal Christian life, and have a normal, like Paul, the teaching of the Paul, the economy of the Paul. Mm-hmm. So we have to know the Lord have an economy to finish, and he have another kingdom to come. And we are not belong this this generation. We are belong to the God. Really rejoicing here to our next generation have a 400 in KPCC. They are training. So we have hope in them. Mm-hmm. They are the partner of Christ. Amen. To fight for God, the Amen. Interest. So we have all of hope. We have 400 training there.
Amen.
Oh, also we need to. We just like a Caleb, he's 85 years, but he worked like a 40 something. Whole reality.
Amen.
So we have so many examples, just like Peter E. said, David and Joshua. That's all our example. So we have to press on.
Amen.
To the goal.
Amen.
Don't dismay. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. We have so many things. We have Christ in us. So we have to press on toward the goal.
Amen. I feel that this portion this week is both encouraging and sobering. And as our sister shared, she shared mostly on the encouraging side. Praise the Lord. We can all have the spirit of Caleb, another spirit that pursues after the Lord fully with our whole heart. But also, this portion shows us that, as 1 Corinthians shows us, this is as for an example, you know, to us, that we would learn from the children of Israel. We often are encouraged and enjoy the portions concerning the history of Israel that are positive, that we've seen in Exodus and in Leviticus, right? Concerning the building of the tabernacle and all that the children of Israel passed through, in especially in when they defeated the enemies in gaining the good land. But there are many portions that are very sobering. For example, this portion here, I just wanted to share some verses. You know, the Lord's promise when he came to Moses was twofold. He says, Jehovah said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, because I know their sorrows. And he says, I have come down to deliver them out of the land hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land to a good land and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. So this was a twofold promise, to deliver them out and to bring them in, deliver them out of the house of slavery and to bring them into the good land where they could enjoy the riches of Christ. But then we see in chapter 14 that when the spies came back, there was a good report and a bad report. But the assembly lifted up their voice and cried, because they listened to the bad report, lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and they wept that night, the whole night. And the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron and against the whole assembly. And the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why does Jehovah bring us into this land to fall by the sword? The Lord had promised them to bring them out of the land of Egypt, and he did. And then he did all these things for them, but they forgot. The second part of the promise was to bring them into the land. As they had seen the Lord bring them out, they should have believed that the Lord would bring them in. But they murmured and they didn't believe. They were concerned for their wives and their children. Then in Acts chapter 7, verse 39, Stephen said that to him our fathers were not, concerning the children of Israel, our fathers were not willing to become obedient, but thrust him away. They thrust Jehovah away and turned in their hearts to Egypt. So even though they were still in the wilderness, the children of Israel in their heart had returned back to Egypt. Oh Lord Jesus, we need to listen to this word, because many times in our hearts we are that way. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 1, it says that they murmured in their tents. In their tents. We have to be careful. When the Lord wants to go on, when the Lord tells us we're going to Staten Island or doing this or that, be careful that we not go back to our tents and murmur, right? Saying, because Jehovah hates us and has brought us from the land of Egypt to deliver us into the land of the Amorites to destroy us. Oh, Lord Jesus, they didn't know the Lord's heart, the Lord's way. The Lord's way is the way of righteousness, love, compassion, care. He's the one who fights for us. We don't have to do anything. Just listen to the Lord's voice. But if they didn't know the Lord's way, at least they should have known the Lord's acts, how he delivered them, all those miracles he did, all opening up the Red Sea, right, to them, supplying them with manna and water and the meat even when they murmured. The Lord wants to take care of us. He wants us to go on into the good land. So we shouldn't doubt the Lord's heart. We should learn from these examples that the Lord wants, his heart is good for us, and he wants us to gain the good land that we may enjoy Christ as our portion. And we all need to be like Joshua in Israel. I like this portion where it says, Joshua is the real captain of salvation, leading God's people to take possession of the land. And we are his partners, the real Calebs, sharing with him the taking and possessing of the land. So let's be the real Calebs, following our real Joshua, to take the land, possess it, and enjoy it, that the Lord can have his kingdom.
All right, dear brothers and sisters. Yes, I actually have to resonate where brother has shared, because I've thought the same thing and went to the same portion of the Bible that remind us. And we oftentimes, I have to say that every brother and sister probably feel the same. We're facing many giants in our life, whether it's job, at home, or even at church. And we oftentimes, just like Israelites, we feel weak and we're complaining. We keep complaining and we feel like we're so weak and there's no way out. But just like Joshua, when leading the Israelites before they entered the Promised Land, before they crossed the Jordan River, God has appeared to Joshua and remind him, talk to the Joshua and remind him several times that fear not, I'm with you and I'm leading you. I'm the champion. I'm the captain of your army and I'll fight for you. So when we're facing facing giants and we shouldn't fall into the trap and the lies from the devil that, you know, we're helpless. We should remember that who is a real champion? Who is a real our commander in general? And learn lesson from Israelites. Fear is a heart of disbelief, and disbelief is sin. I would say what pleased God the most is trusting him. That's the only thing that God wants us is faith on him only. Thank you.
But I was impressed actually. There was this one verse, right? I mean, there's a number of verses, right? But I was touched with this verse. Now when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. But God said, perhaps the people will change their minds when they see war and will return to Egypt. Yeah. So this is in Exodus 13:17. The Lord led the people. I mean, he could have led them. The way of the Philistines was near, but the Lord delayed, right? My point is, the Lord provided for the people. He made a full provision for the people. So he led them through the wilderness. They came to Elim. There was the manna, and they had the, I appreciate the manna. There's a daily miracle with the manna, and then it's a double miracle on the Sabbath, because you get 2 days portion on Friday and none on Saturday, and then one every other day. It's like a miraculous event, and a special double miracle on Friday and another miracle, on Saturday. It's like, it was just, and the Lord led them. And as Peter said, they came to Mount Sinai in the third month, And so they were in Mount Sinai from the day of Passover when they left Egypt until the third month, and throughout that time, the Lord was revealing his law and his and the tabernacle and the regulations and all these things, at the end of the of 1 year, the tabernacle was set up on the first day of the first month of the second year, so. I think the events, that's at the end of Exodus, and also in Numbers, it's at the first day, it starts out the first day of the second month of the second year. So, that's just a 1 year and 1 month, you know. And then on the 14th day of that month, they had the first memorial Passover, you know. I mean, this is all part of God's provision for their care, you know. The tabernacle of the Lord's dwelling, the cloud came, you know. I mean, the priest couldn't enter the tabernacle, you know. The Lord provided for the people, you know, to prepare them for this, you know. And then, actually, you know, the Passover is in chapter 9, right? And then in chapter 10, they departed from Sinai. So I mean, bear with me here. Right? So, I mean, it was just only in chapter 10, and this is chapter 13, right? So, in a way, there's not that much time between the time that the tabernacle was set up. But there was enough time that they were fully able at that time, you know. I mean, they were fully able to go into the land at that time. That's my point. My point is that they, according to God's estimation, they were able to go into the good land at that time, you know. So that's where the sobering word comes in, like Brother Robert shared, you know. Beware that lest there be an evil heart of unbelief. But praise the Lord that God has provided everything. He's provided everything we need, you know, and amen. They could have gone in then.
Hallelujah. God has provided everything we need. Yeah, it's fine. Brother shared we have all these giants, and we do. And we have a portion of word that says we can come to the word and be washed. The washing of the water in the word. I don't know how many times, let me say this. Brother Ed mentioned, we know Romans 8:28, but the next verse, we're actually predestinated. All these, even the giants, if we keep one practice, I want to show you what the Lord has done with me, and I know he's done it with others. If we keep this practice of coming to him in the word, in the written word, he can change, he can make this written word, he can enlighten, and all of a sudden it becomes instant, and it's rhema. And I don't know how many times giants came, and in my evening reading of the word, or in my morning watch reading of the word, he enlightened something right there. It's just what I needed. I've gotten it in the morning and needed it for a giant that was coming up in the day. Oh, I just read about that. I'm not afraid of this. Okay, I want to share what, there's some things that Brother Peter mentioned. I just want to read this. Israelites did not fully trust God's word. We need to trust in the Lord's word and in his name.
That's right.
And in these days, with the churches propagating, there will surely be giants. And we need to be firmly rooted in his word and in our belief.
Amen.
There's times that the Lord knew. This, and I even asked him this morning, did I hear your word then? He said, yeah, but there's times he didn't want to give me a rhema word. He wanted me to get something from the written word so that my faith is unshakable. I want to give you, you know that it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. But there's sometimes he wants to give us something in here. So I'm going to give you an example. And I loved it when it just gets in line, it's, oh, this is, I need to eat. It's James 3:17. When the wisdom from above. And the thing is, I see the word and it's enlightened. I said, oh, this looks like it's from God. It just jumps out at you and it has the ring of truth. Truth is unshakable. It will not change. It's just a matter of us shimmying up with the truth, and we can't be shaken. So it says the wisdom from above is first pure. And I look at the word that is normal word, but I know he's meaning it for what I need it for. All of a sudden has the ring of truth. It's then peaceable. As soon as I saw the word, or by the way, Brother Lee mentions that it's the end of strife. Sometimes I come anxious to the word of God, but I come and I'm anxious about something before I came to the watch. I get the, anyway. But this word took care of my anxiety. I got nothing to fear. So peaceable is what I noticed first. And then usually I come back and hold it up to the light. It's pure. It's peaceable. My strife is gone. But the third one is the one I love the most. And it has reasonable in it. That's the one I love the most. It's forbearing. Brother Lee left a footnote. Forbearing means sweetly reasonable. Sweet. There's natural reasonableness. And that can make us afraid of everything. But if it's sweetly, it's so sweet because only God could give this to me. And because he gave it to me, it's unshakable. There's nothing that can change it. I'm not going to go, by the way, this is the 8 point. You look in James 3:17. There's 8 points there. God, you know, when he told in Hebrews 6:18 that it was impossible for God to lie. So there were two things. But this is the 8 point thing. If you go through this, nothing can shake us from it. God does this. So I'm not going to go through the other seven, because that third one, I remember oftentimes when I got this, I'd say, Lord, I know it's your word, but I'm going to enjoy the other parts. And I start going through each part, and I say, yeah, it lines up. This is the word. Absolutely unshakable. So I'm going to close with this, and I'm just going to sit down. Hebrews 6:18. In order that by two unchangeable things, in which is impossible for God to lie, we have a strong encouragement who have fled for refuge to lay a hope, hold on the hope that's set before us. I need to say this because this is important. Brother, I know Sister Jeannie keeps a regular time going the words sequentially. Brother Lee left outlines. In fact, even in Christendom, there's outlines to get us through the Bible. If we follow those sequentially, God knows what kind of environment is going to come up, what kind of giants, because he's predestinated us. So he can prepare us, he can arm us before the giants come in our morning watch. If we do like, I know Joe Ferrante, we used to share, Joe Ferrante walks circumspectly. At the end of the day, he looks over what he did. Oh, Lord, I sinned there. I want to repent. He can shine a light in the evening watch and show us something we didn't notice during the day. We may be worried, trembling. Oh, but I saw this word in evening watch. He has predestinated us. If we keep this way of just reading the Bible sequentially, he'll warm our hearts when it's our anniversary. He's got special messages for us. He knows when we're weak. He knows when he needs to pick up. Okay, this second verse. The hope set before us, which we have is an anchor of the soul, both secure and firm, which enters into the veil. An eight-part confirmation. Nothing can shake us when we get the word of God.
Amen. So I forgot how big this room is, and actually it's really intimidating to speak. But I just wanted to share something. Anyway, there was a frame I remember seeing at one of the homes, and what was written in the frame really struck me. It reads this: God never asks us to do something we can do. He asks us to live a life which we can never live and to do a work which we can never do. Yet by his grace, we are living it and doing it. I guess this is just the story of our Christian life and in the church life. Here we're asked to do, I mean, how did we get saved? We didn't get saved because we saved ourselves. Of course, the Lord came to us and saved us. He redeemed us. And actually, as we go on with the Lord, it's actually he's doing everything. And I think many of us, we can testify to this, like sprinkle throughout our human journey, like, yeah, the Lord was there. I could remember that. Or the Lord was certainly there to sustain me, to bring me through this kind of thing. I think as all of us here, like, we all have Nephilim in our lives. We have giants. Some are small giants and others are really big giants, right? And I'm certainly going through a situation where there's a really big Nephilim in the horizon and I need to figure out what the result is on Monday and Tuesday. And anyway, I was just appreciating, at least I was reading something from Psalm 78. And this is actually, Psalm 78 is a pretty long psalm, but it speaks on the failure of Israel. And it's actually quite striking. It says, the failure of Israel, which was what made Jehovah angry, was, why was Jehovah angry? It says this, because they did not believe in God and they did not trust in his salvation. And you know, earlier, like late this week, I was just musing and really considering in my personal situation, where is the belief? Where is my trusting? So, you know, Caleb was, I really appreciate Caleb because he was an ordinary Israelite. He wasn't on the status of Moses. It shows us with Caleb that God is able to make someone ordinary with his faithfulness, determination, character, and constitution, and make this one an overcomer, a victorious conqueror in the midst of a chaotic situation. And we all have a spirit of faith in us, right? We know this in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians. We have a spirit of faith. And it's this spirit that is the spirit of Caleb that enables us to have such a spirit of Caleb because it's normal. We've exited Egypt. We crossed the Red Sea. Now we're in the wilderness. We're enjoying the manna. We're drinking the living water that's springing out from the smitten rock, right? There's the revelation of the law, and now there's the pattern of the tabernacle. Now we're here dwelling with God, and God is dwelling with us. But it's normal to go all the way from Egypt into the good land. It's not normal to be strewn on the wayside in the wilderness, right? Anyways, may we have the spirit of Caleb, because we all have Nephilims in our situation, but I'm just encouraged, we need to look at Jesus. He's the victorious one. Right? All the tents were facing. They were facing the center. The battle was won because the battle was his. And so if we look at him, wow, we have victory in Jesus. Even in our personal situation, we should just have the spirit in Caleb and let us go up at once and possess it. For we are well able to overcome it.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I really enjoyed this message. The title is to be the partner for Christ and to fight for his interest. And I really enjoyed on Hebrews 3:14, for we have become partner of Christ. And if indeed we hold fast the beginning of the assurance firm to the end. So what really taught me and really encouraged me is the pattern of Caleb and Joshua. Show us that they truly are the one, simply ordinary believer, but they hold fast of whatever God has spoken to them. The whole fact, the word of God from the beginning to the end. And that really encouraged me that put into our application of our daily living is by enjoy more of word of God. Amen. By pray reading the word of God, then we be able to have this personal, subjective, and even experiential of the word of God. And that experience, the word of God, what we have experienced, we have enjoyed, will become our constituent. And this kind of constituent will become from the constant word of God and become the instant word of God, even become a gentle and quiet speaking from the Lord himself. Oh, Lord, did I really appreciate so much for these two patterns. And also, and on day five, I believe, he has something from the ministry world. He says, our bread is not only the word of God, and our meat is not only to do his will, the Father's will, and our bread is also the anakin, the difficulties that are in our way. So when we have a very good appetite, and when we put really good practice, have always a good appetite not only for the word of God, praise the Lord, even all the difficulty, even all the environment in our way will become our food. This is exactly what Joshua and Caleb, they have experiencing. That is because they have this kind of experiencing. So when they mentioned on number 1330, they say, let us go up at once and possess it before we are well able to overcome it. You know, what I really feel and taught by this word here is when they say this, when they have this utterance out of their mouth, they are not just rephrase something from God. But because they have this kind of the faith in their spirit, so when they utter this kind of word, it becomes so powerful. They have this kind of dramatic power through their wording infused to all the Israeli people when they hear they have this kind of utterance. So I really appreciate so much. We have such a wonderful pattern in number of Caleb and Joshua. And today we are the ordinary believer, but by our cooperating with the Lord, we can help him to bring forth the kingdom of God, even in our daily living for this age. And then have this assurance that we will have this participation in the millennium kingdom for the full taste of the kingdom life and to be the kingdom people of this age.
Amen. Recently, I had to go through the two different minor supposed procedures. And the first one was last week. And I supposed to go, and I have to get a lot of blood tests ready, and the lab has to be ready and stuff. My general practitioner was just not very cooperative. He was very angry with me because I always take all my blood tests with, you know, MSK, and he never get to do the blood test with me. And MSK basically do all my lab work, and they are very advanced with computer. So everything is sent through computer, fax and stuff. And my doctor is a kind of old fashioned. He didn't like computer. He doesn't want to be hooked up. So back and forth. The doctor finally said, if I don't have your doctor's signature, I'm not going to operate on you. And my doctor said, well, I don't have the chest x-ray. I don't have this. I said, but they sent it to you. But I didn't receive anything, which is a lot of anxiety. And so finally, I was really afraid because if the doctor doesn't approve, something should happen. He's not going to sign it. And if he's not going to sign it, surgeon is not going to have a surgery. So, amen. So I postponed it. The second one was coming up. Now, this time, they asked for the same thing. And because my doctor finally had got his lab report ready, I had an extra copy. What's going on?
Nothing, I'm right behind you.
Lord Jesus. Amen. Lord. And then the second procedure, you know, they asked for it the day before. They said, blood report. And I happened to have it for my other procedure. I had it ready. So the point is, from the two procedures, the first one, I was really scared because my blood sugar was way high. I don't even want to tell you. And I was afraid that something's going to happen to me. The second one, my blood sugar was still high, but somehow on that day, Friday, I had the morning watch that says that our unbelief is considered more evil than David, whatever he has accomplished. And that kind of just hit home, you know. Where do I put God? I'm doing everything. Somebody was, Brother Ed was saying, because we are self-centered. You look at yourself, oh, this cannot happen. Oh, that cannot happen. I can't do this. I can't do this. You tie yourself in a knot. But the Lord is on the throne. So on Friday night, my husband comes and says, how are you doing? Because, you know, this procedure takes a lot of out of me. And he goes, well, I haven't taken it until Saturday morning, so I have to get ready for it. How are you doing? And I say, on the throne. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus, where we need to have faith. And the faith is not that we use our strengths as a, I believe God, but it's we rest on thee. Our faith is when we found the rest in the Lord. That's where the faith comes.
wasn't going to come to the mic. I just came up here to adjust the mics. But my wife poked me, and then I said, no, I'm going to stand up. No. And then Michael said, you're going to stand up. So I guess so. Anyway, I enjoyed the message this morning, and we all have things in our life, and I'm no exception. And there are situations in my family that cause me to be dismayed. And even in this country, there are things, if I look at certain events and things happening in the country, it's easy for me to become frustrated and start to murmur. But I need to learn to just not look at those things, you know, not be like Peter. Don't look at the waves. Look to the Lord. Amen. Turn to my spirit and stop murmuring and believe in the Lord. Because as my wife said, to not believe in God is to insult him. It's a very serious matter. And although David did those terrible things, God did not abandon him, because David did not commit the ultimate sin of not believing. When the Israelites didn't believe in the Lord, they insulted him, and then he was done with them, and that whole generation died in the wilderness because of unbelief. I don't want to be like that. Praise the Lord. We have a spirit, and we have the speaking ear to help us. Praise the Lord, and we can experience this. Amen.
Amen. I'll be brief. Where's my bell, Doug? I just want to end verse 9 from this Lord's Day, Joshua chapter 1. Be strong and take courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for Jehovah your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. We're not paying attention to the giants, our circumstances, our feelings, because Jehovah our God is with us. Amen. We'll end the meeting here.